we've interviewed two people that are dancers for Alvin Ailey because NJ Pack is having a yearly Mother's Day show.
It's May 10th, 11th, and 12th. And they do it every year at NJ Pack. And we're so grateful that we got to interview two dancers that are from New Jersey. And the first one is Chalvar Montero. He's been with the company for a while and he's a mentor towards the younger performers. And then our second interview is with Christopher Taylor, who is a very young performer who grew up in Newark. They have different stories of how they got to Ailey. They're both such beautiful human beings and they both radiate in their huge smiles, such kindness and understanding and really like, It was wonderful. I loved it.
It was. Their stories are so impressive of all the hard work. I mean, I think everybody knows when you see someone as a dancer, it doesn't matter what company they're with, you know that they have been dancing since they were young and they have put in an enormous amount of practice hours and work and heart into this. And these two, they've gone to one of the most elite dance companies in the world, Alvin Ailey, and we have the honor of speaking to both of them and sharing their stories with you.
Yes. So please enjoy this interview and also get tickets. We'll put links in our show notes. Welcome, Chalvar. We're so happy that you're here to talk about your life, Alvin Ailey, and of course, Montclair, because that's where we're at.
And you're from Montclair, is that correct?
Yes, from Montclair. I grew up right there on Lincoln Street.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
Is your family still here or is it, do you come back ever?
I haven't. Well, my family moved to East Orange in 2018. Okay. So I haven't been to Montclair for a proper visit in some years.
So you just got back from, where did you come back from and why you have jet lag?
So we finished our first leg of the tour. We were in LA at the Music Center. And we just got back in town last night.
And when you say get back in town, where, what town have you come back to?
We got back to New York.
Okay. Okay. Yes, so you're in, you're based in New York.
Yes. Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater is based in New York. And we are currently on our 20 city tour that started January 24th.
I'm going to be seeing you at NJ Pack on the 11th.
Yes. Woo!
Yeah. I come every, it's so cool because I come every, it's like the Mother's Day, NJ Pack, Alvin Ailey extravaganza. And I have three daughters and they all dance, not like you dance, but they dance in Montclair.
They're very good.
They have done classes at Sharon Miller and then now they're at Dance Works Studios. And then my daughter who's in college now did the Montclair High Deco, the dance company there. We go with Dance Works, actually, and they perform, the company performs in the lobby of NJ Pack before you guys go on.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
It's really cute.
That show is May the 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Yeah.
Tell us about you growing up and you being that kid, probably, you know, in that, it, like these kids are out there, you know, I'm sure that's kind of your journey as well. Did you start as a really young, you know, kid or did it come later for you?
I remember seeing Dance Theater Harlem on Sesame Street when I was really young.
Yeah.
And I naturally had an inclination for movement more than expressing myself verbally. So yeah, I always was fidgeting around. Most of my extracurricular activities were through the church. Having four sisters, resources were kind of tight. So liturgical dance ministry, choir, a lot of things through the church was how I got involved in the arts, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I did things here and there, like structured dance activities here and there, but it wasn't until my 8th grade year when I was at Renaissance Middle School.
Yeah, Renaissance.
my father's birthday is actually usually falls around Mother's Day weekend. And so one of my older sisters, Rachel, used to work at NJ Pack and she got him tickets for his birthday to see Ailey.
Yeah.
He was like, "Can you score two more tickets? I want to bring Chalvar the next day." And so I went to see Ailey the day after he went and was blown away. And that was the performance that made me realize that not only was my movement language a real thing that could connect to people, but it was also a career choice and something I could go to school for. And, you know, there were lots of prestigious programs and institutions that could help me get there. So yeah, I didn't start a consistent dance regimen until around high school.
Oh, okay.
Which for some people is really late. And for some people, it seems right on time. Hearing about the Moncler High School Dance Company, and it was under a different director at the time, but I did that for, I think, my freshman and sophomore year. In an effort to graduate high school a year early, I kind of cut out the dance company thing and just focused on my training at Cher Miller's Academy for the Performing Arts before attending Montclair State University during what would have been my senior year in high school.
Oh, gotcha.
And then from there, I transferred to SUNY Purchase and graduated from the Conservatory of Dance in 2010.
The thing that's interesting is that it sounds like when you finally realized there was a path that you could take, that you just completely focused on it. I mean, even planning, it sounds like in high school, to, you know, get out.
Graduate early. How did you know to do that? Or did you have a mentor or other, like at Sharon Miller, or people that were saying, okay, this is a career and this is how we can help you get there, or this is what you need to do to get there? Or
mm-hmm. Cher Miller was definitely a champion of mine at the time. Mm-hmm. I also, my mother is one of my biggest supporters, as long as my guidance counselor in high school at the time. And so between those three women and other staples at the time that I had, or systems of support that I had, knew that I wanted to dance, knew that I wanted to get to New York as quickly as I could to further my training.
Did you ever feel like maybe disillusioned, or maybe you don't want to do this, or maybe there was another idea before you know, but it doesn't sound like you did. It sounded like you knew always and you stuck with it.
I knew that this is what I wanted to do. It wasn't typical for boys to be interested in dance. So I think my biggest challenges were the social aspect of high school, or just kind of throughout my whole education experience, just the bullying, being singled out. Having a game plan was kind of, I think, what protected me and kept me focused on what I wanted to do, because otherwise it was kind of a very isolating, not so fun experience while I was at school. I had friends here and there, for sure. But I definitely felt like an outlier for most of my high school experience, unless I was in the dance studio in the freshman dorm. I don't remember what that building is called anymore. But in the
freshman building. Yeah, it's still called. Yeah. They still call it that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unless I was over there with Mary Blackburn at the time, I was kind of just like, what do I need to do to get out of here? So
yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's common. You do see that. And I think that I have boys, and I think my son, he started dancing in elementary and he stopped. And I think it was because of social issues. And I think a lot of boys do that. They feel like, you know, they're not supposed to do it. And it's hard. I'm impressed that I actually respect, you know, when I see people, boys dancing in the school plays and things like, because you know that they are going against the grain.
For sure.
Yeah.
Especially, I think I got support from folks when they heard that I was a dancer until they realized that I was not talking about hip hop. realized that I wanted to do like the more codified classical genres of dance, whether it be ballet or classical forms of modern. Mm-hmm. When they found out that that's what I was interested in,
you mean a hip hopera?
Exactly.
Exactly. I saw one of those in the Netherlands. It was very cool. They did do like a ballet doing ballerinas doing hip hop, like hip hop music. It was awesome. I mean, because technically people who can do ballet can do anything.
So I'm curious, is Alvin Ailey like the thing? You pointed and that is where I'm going to go? Or were there other companies that you had your eye on and that you went through before you went to Alvin Ailey?
Both, actually. So when I saw Ailey right before high school, in my mind, because I hadn't really seen before ALE, the only other dance performance that I had access to was a DVD of the Fosse Broadway show, mm-hmm. Ben Vereen. Before that, maybe it was a VHS of Riverdance. And before that, it was maybe, again, Sesame Street on Dance Theater of Harlem. So in my mind, ALE was the only thing that existed that was within my grasp, especially because ALE was the only thing I saw that centered the Black experience. So I was like, oh, this is it. Mm-hmm. Going to college was where my horizons were stretched a bit more. And I was introduced to so many different choreographic languages and so many, and just also understanding what a culture of dance could feel like, understanding what having a home looks like, how to problem solve in real time, how to connect with people with different values and approaches to the same things, which helped me realize that ALE is not the end all be all, but was definitely high on the list of things that I wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. About my junior year in college is when I started to freelance a bit and dip my toe as a performer in New York. I started to understand what an intimate dance company or an intimate dance space where the companies are no larger than maybe seven dancers at a time was super, super special, really having a tight knit, almost like a family bond. And before joining ALE, where the repertory, first of all, in a project-based company, you're doing maybe one work at a time.
Right.
At ALE, there's 32 dancers, wardrobe crew, regular crew, production staff, artistic staff. Then there are like 20 different ballets in the rotation at any given time.
I was going to ask you about what? That. Do you have to learn all... the different, like whenever I see ALE, you know, of course, I always look forward, like everybody, to Revelations, their piece that they do at the end. But there are also new pieces, but then staples they'll bring out, like a jazz number from certain age. And do you, as a dancer, have to learn all of them and just be prepared to jump in? Because they had to change something, I think, the night we were there last year. It was like, last minute, we're slotting in this dance because this mm-hmm. dance we can't do tonight. And I'm like, oh boy, I wonder if they have to know all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, usually, well, so for every work that comes into the ALE repertory, there is usually an audition process.
Okay.
We don't have to know every work that comes into the repertory. I would say that it just depends on what you audition for, the success rate of your auditioning, and how much casting you have per season. And then in an emergency, you may have a day to prepare for this role, or you might have, like at the Kennedy Center last month, somebody got hurt and I had 10 minutes during the intermission to warm up, put makeup on, find my costumes, and get on stage.
Wow.
So it just depends on how things are rolling at the time.
Wow. So you have to really, yeah, you have to be ready for anything. Do you like those moments when you're like 10 minutes and it's like a rush, or is it a horror?
Well, in my first few years in the company, it used to definitely feel like something out of a movie, full of anxiety. What do I do? How do I do it? 9 years into this company experience, I don't know. I wouldn't say that I enjoy it, but it definitely coming out, finishing the ask of stepping into an emergency, you definitely give yourself like five pats on the back, because it's like, oh, I don't even have to think about this anymore. I don't even get butterflies anymore. I just get excited to just jump out there, trust myself a little bit, have fun while I do it, and then go back to my dressing room and calm down before the next ballet.
Say, I nailed it. I did. Have you ever not nailed it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the beautiful thing about being in this company is you also learn about the law of averages and how you're not going to win everything. And I feel like that life lesson is something that I learned in this company. No matter what your intentions are, you're not always going to win. Mm-hmm. No matter your approach or how prepared you think you are for something, sometimes things just don't stack the way you think that they will. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that your intentions or your heart was in the wrong place. It just means that it wasn't this time, mm-hmm. or there was something you needed to learn in the art of recovery, I call it, instead of like mistakes.
Yeah.
The art of recovery. How do
I like that.
Bounce back from going for something in a way that you know usually works, but today it didn't? What do you learn from that? So these days, making mistakes feel a lot less of a character flaw and just more of an invitation to see how your body, like your subconscious, can respond a bit faster.
I'm sure you see that in new dancers, and you are, you know, mentoring them on how to learn from what just happened instead of taking it and just really beating yourself up with it.
For sure. For sure. That's actually something that I've really enjoyed about staying in a company for this long and now being somebody that people call a senior member. This is the longest relationship with a company I've ever had. And so something I've always appreciated as a newer dancer was the conversation that I got to have with people with more experience. And so now I get to return the favor and kind of initiate dialogue and ask them questions about their process and what it is that they find important. How do you define success even? And how would you like to enhance that experience for yourself? And if there's a way for me to fit into that, if there's something that you want me to help you with, I'm so happy to do that. Otherwise, I'm also so good and so happy to just watch your process.
Yeah.
Distance. Because I also don't want to be overbearing or intimidating and not give you the space that I had to figure out my own, what I want my relationship with these works to look like.
And I know that you choreograph as well, right?
Yes.
So how is that side of you? I love seeing new choreography and just seeing how each person brings something totally different to the way they decide to tell a story through movement and how they use the music and if it's on the beat, off the beat, or there's just so many different ways you can express something with choreo.
Choreography is so much fun. With our schedule right now, most of my opportunities are choreographing solos, either for myself, or I just had a senior solo premiere at SUNY Purchase for a senior project show.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm actually presenting work this summer at the Fire Island Dance Festival.
Cool.
At the Pines in Fire Islands, which I'm really excited about. But I love choreography because before being bold enough to call myself one, it was mostly an improvisation practice where I just kind of got comfortable with my instincts and kind of paying attention to the patterns that come up, the things that I find important in movement. And so now I'm in a place where I want to kind of commit to something that I don't consider improvisation to be a throwaway, but there's not really... there is an element of non-committal movement where you don't have to really stick to anything you choose. You can always abort the mission.
Right.
Which is great. So now I'm at a place where I want to, or not want to, where I am actually actively exploring how I want movement to connect on other bodies. What it is that I want to say in a collaborative process with other folks. And while the stories that I want to tell are specific to me, making sure that I also illuminate the strengths of the person that I'm working with so that I'm not,
yes.
So it's not too heavy-handed, because in a lot of my experiences, I found myself always craving an opportunity to bring myself into the work a lot more, especially in a company like Ailey, where most works that we do were created before I was even a thought. So you're always stepping into someone else's shoes.
Is it like acting a little? I mean, it feels like because you have to embody the feeling in your performance. I'm sure that it feels somewhat like have to act.
For sure. Yeah. So dance theater is a part of the name of the company on purpose, right? Because Mr. Ailey definitely had an affinity for theater. Definitely is an element of acting, especially when we do works like Night Creature or any of the excerpts of Ailey classics where we're portraying icons like Billie Holiday or Gillespie or Charlie Parker. You really have to, instead of just putting on a dress or a big suit and doing your best pantomiming, I do think that there is a lot of research that goes into bringing these characters to life in a way where the era that they're from is also done justice instead of just going out there and kind of going rogue.
Doing the choreography that they tell you to do, you need to bring the spirit of the character there. And do you feel like you're a director as well?
There is definitely an element of directing. I think my most preferred way of connecting the dots would be just dialogue and questions, like committing either a whole rehearsal or a big chunk of the rehearsal, just asking questions. How does this make you feel? What do you think about the music? How do you connect to the music? What is it telling you? Or are there things that we haven't done that you would like to bring into the work? Do you want to dance on the floor? Is there a side of your body that you prefer over the other? Have we been dancing for too fast for too long? Like, you know, just asking questions like that, so that when I do step out again as a choreographer, I can kind of see not only what it is that I've been focusing on, but ways that I can maybe complicate or make the structure a bit more complex so it's not so monotonous.
Yeah.
That's also just very thoughtful and caretaking of your dancers.
I think also in being part of a big company, it's not that there isn't care, but because there aren't many opportunities to collaborate on a new work, these are the types of conversations that I crave still.
So when I get
the chance to be a leader, when I get the chance to curate my own space of creativity, I make sure to center dialogue so that no matter how short the process, how big the cast, we all walk away knowing each other more. People walk away knowing my voice a bit more distinctly instead of something that is kind of like my improvisation, like here one day, gone the next, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that there is an impact that hopefully matches the intention, so we don't get too far away from, I think, the transformative nature that dance and art should have.
Yes, yes.
So if people go to NJ Pack, how will they enjoy your performance?
So actually, funny enough, on Friday, I'm in Solo by Hans van Manen, which is a trio. I would say that it is a great mix of classical, modern, and ballet technique and movement. But not without lots of fun and poking fun at each other. And it's almost like, it's almost as if it's anything you can do, I can do better, but between three men.
Oh,
I love
it's
that.
A lot of fun. It's charming. It's a little tongue in cheek, but also like virtuosic and super, super, I say that it's like a work that sparkles, because it's so clean. It's so clear and precise, but also a little flirty and a little dangerous. I also get to perform I Want to Be Ready in Revelations. This is my first year performing that solo, and I'm really enjoying the process of into it. And I would say for the last 8 years before this season, a lot of the work that I did was allegro. A lot of it was very fast. So it was nice to be given an opportunity to slow down, to be a bit more mature and understated and simple, which is a really, really great challenge for me. And on the Saturday night performance, I'm in Amy Hall's Century, which is a work about Amy Hall's grandfather who turned 100 just in December. Her grandfather, he's from New Orleans. So she wanted to make a work about his roots and what he might have been like as a young 20-something and kind of chronicle his journey as far as who she understood him to be and who she knows him to be as her grandfather, as a grown woman and having a grandson named after her grandfather. And so just like making all these personal connections to her grandfather with really, really, really good music. And the Sunday afternoon performance, I think, is the same as Friday, except I'm doing Center Man instead of I Want to Be Ready. I'm really, really excited to have a pretty simple but high impact weekend. And actually that weekend, so we're there for Mother's Day weekend, which is that Sunday, but my parents' anniversary, their 37th anniversary, is the day before, and my father's birthday is on the 12th, is on Mother's Day as well. So it's like a big weekend
for
my family. So I'm very excited to return home and have a weekend full of celebrating.
What a great gift for your parents to come and see you and celebrate all the success that you have had. This is
I'm so excited.
Well, two things that as we wrap up this interview, well, one thing I want to point out is your Instagram account. It's beautiful. It is so breathtaking, the photos that are on there. I was just like, while you were talking, I was like, okay, where is that Instagram? And I just was like, wow. So have you done, I think I saw that you've been kind of in some campaigns for magazines, fashion for campaigns. Different brands, fashion campaigns. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
Honestly, so I don't have an agent or anything. Uh-huh. So I got a random email, I want to say in early 2018, asking if I wanted to do something for Uniqlo. And I said, absolutely.
Yes. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
And shortly after that, I got another email from Lululemon asking about a campaign that was specific for their Time Warner location in Columbus Circle. And I said, absolutely. And what's funny is, as far as picture taking, I knew that being in this company, that I wanted to be comfortable with being in front of a camera. I never really liked, picture taking was not something I was comfortable with. Funny enough, neither was improvisation. Uh-huh. Improvisation
That's
wasn't
crazy
something that
to
I
me.
Was comfortable with. But it wasn't until I joined, before joining Alvin Ailey, I was a dancer with Kyle Abraham's Abraham in Motion. And it was there where improvisation and generating movement was a part of the culture, was a part of the requirement. It was there where I learned and honed an improvisation practice. At Ailey, getting ready to be in Ailey, I was like, one day I want to be on a poster. One day I want to do this. One day I want to do that. So I just need to be comfortable taking pictures. So I would just ask friends and in exchange for a ticket to a show or in exchange for just promoting each other's Instagram accounts. It would just be like that for a while. And so through those relationships, people started to reach out to do really fun things. The next thing I know, those two things happened, and that was really cool. Document Journal, a publication in the UK, asked me to do something for Montclair, which was really cool. And I got to do something for Vogue Beauty around my hair hair journey. So it's like, I never thought that these things could happen.
It's so interesting. Those are the two things that you were uncomfortable with, and you really stand out with them now.
And that's something that I always tell anytime I get to teach. I joined the faculty at Tisch School of the Arts September 2020. So anytime I get to have a consistent teaching practice, I always tell people, find the value in something that you don't do well. You never know. You never know when you're going to need something. You never know when a relationship, your community, when you're going to need to lean on them for a favor. You never know when that hip hop class that you were really insecure in is going to support you in this audition. You know, stick to it. Try everything if you can, when you can, because you just really never know.
That's good advice.
Okay. Now, the last thing that we ask all of our guests is to give a shout out to something that you love about New Jersey.
There's so many things that I love about coming home to New Jersey. Wow. One, I just love the quiet. Now, maybe it's just where I'm visiting New Jersey. Anytime I get to visit my folks in East Orange or even in Montclair before we left, just being able to leave a place like this, New York City, and come home and it's quiet. The only noise that I hear usually from the dogs barking from excitement. Mm-hmm. I love the fresh air. I love the parks. Yes, I love the parks. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I loved any Italian food I could get my hands on in Montclair. I don't know if they exist anymore, but I used to love Nana's on Valley Road.
They don't exist anymore.
Montclair Center was very, very different in 2005, but a lot of the restaurants in Montclair Center I used to love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say great food, great parks. And I would even say the even though it was on its way when I was in high school, I really feel like Montclair did a good job of keeping their community involved in the arts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
There was always a push for diversifying your tastes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was such a delight to learn about your background and your history to becoming part of a company that is revered for
around the world.
It's just, it's amazing what you've done, and we'll be there to see you on Mother's Day weekend, and we'll let everybody else say go.
Yes. Well, I hope to sneak out fast enough to meet you, but you're both coming on the same night, or?
We haven't planned it yet.
You'll let me know. I'm coming on the 11th with Danceworks and Co. So,
okay.
But
hopefully I can I'm going to write it down and hopefully sneak out before the show starts.
Okay. If we see you, that will be a shock.
That would be awesome. But if you don't, I completely understand. Yeah. Like, I get it. We're just so grateful you came on our show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Yes.
Thank you.
And now keep listening to meet Christopher Taylor.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you, Christopher?
I'm good.
We're happy to have you on the show. We'd love to hear you talk about how you came to dance and then eventually how you came to Alvin Ailey.
Well, it started in a little city called Newark, New Jersey.
I love that. I'm ready.
My grandmother, she raised me when I was a child. So she was my only support. That's important to know. Just want to start that off. I'm very grateful for her, because she brought all my clothes and dance wear, tights and ballet slippers, all the things. I will say that because Newark is a community that's strong in house music, I remember she used to bring me to a lot of the house music festivals, like downtown Newark area. And I used to just dance a lot. When company used to come over, I used to just perform and sing for company. I was like, she always made me perform, like, go dance. And I just did it, you know? So I remember in middle school, I was introduced to Horton, ballet, like hip hop. And I thought ballet was like, you know, just girls in tutus. I didn't know much. But I remember that Ailey, a few teachers came to our school who was under Miss Nasha Thomas-Smith.
Okay.
And she's the director of the Ailey educational program.
Right.
And you know, she has different teachers who goes to schools, I guess urban neighborhoods like North New Jersey. And this specific school was Maple Avenue School. And I guess it's to educate students, children about dance and different styles like Horton, tap, and we perform these techniques at the end of the year. My first year, it was, I think, in the third grade. And they came one, like, winter and taught us about Alvin Ailey. They showed us a video about Revelations.
Oh, yeah.
I just remembered, I was, like, everything was so new. So it was, like, kind of just taking things in, the information that was being taught. And this man's legacy about, I'll never forget the video when he talked about his blood memories. And I remember we used to get quizzed on it. And going into that summer, they asked if we wanted to go to Ailey Camp, which was going to be the first year at Arts High School. Like the first year for Ailey Camp being in New Jersey, period. But it's going to be in North New Jersey. Oh. And I believe Prudential sponsors Ailey Camp in North. So shout out to them. They brought it. And I went my first summer, and I feel that's where it's like you just skyrocket. I didn't skyrocket.
Love at first sight.
Yeah. I just remembered after they interviewed us, you know, to get to know us, we just started to like dance and say affirmations and take daily classes. I think it was a Monday to Friday thing. And I remember just so much fun. And I remember one time when someone was like, oh, they're giving out scholarships. I think my mind as a child, that gave me, when I heard that, I told myself, I need that. Like, for me to become something, as a kid, it just spoke to me. And a mature inner voice was speaking to me ever since I heard there was a scholarship being given.
Well, you're so young.
How did you even have that
perspective? How did you know what a scholarship was at that age?
you know, you hear about it from, you know, just life, like people going to college, getting into sports, you know, like a scholarship is like a golden ticket out. Yeah, so when I heard that, I was like, okay, let me just take advantage, because maybe this is my golden ticket out, because I love North, but it's a rough place. And as a kid, I've seen a lot of things, and I was just like, I just don't want to go down that path, and I want to make a difference. So I chose dance to be that difference for me. Because before, sidetrack, before dance, it was boxing. I thought I was going to be a boxer. But my family didn't really, I was expecting like my uncles to take me to the gym more, but they didn't really, they kind of like, you know, it just wasn't too focused on. So dance was the next thing for, I told myself that I was going to make sure that I'm going to implement myself in this. Since boxing didn't, you know, since my family didn't really like help me with that. But my grandmother, she definitely helped me with dancing, and I made sure I danced to the best of my ability every day at the camp. So then after the camp, I heard about the scholarship. I got one. I trained, I auditioned for the school, got in. I'm trying to think about how old I was.
Were you in my mind?
Because you could go to, did you go to the city then? Because they have the school in Manhattan, right?
Yeah. Yes. So the school, so after my first, after the summer of Ailey Camp, they gave a scholarship to go to the school in Manhattan.
Yeah.
So I don't think I was 12. I was 12 at this time.
Yeah.
I think I was 12. Yeah. So at this time I was 12. And so Ailey Camp, auditioned for the school, got into the school. And then ever since I was 12 until, let me say like 18, I was in the junior division program. So junior division program is a part of the, it's the, for like people from 12 to like 18, you know, until like high school is when you are attending this program. But at first I was, since I didn't have really much of like ballet training and I just started getting into dance really, I was in a program called Bounding Boys in the beginning. So it was, I was with like boys from like 8 to 10 years old, and I was like 12 with all these smaller boys, and I'm all big, but I inserted myself to learn fast, to, you know, so I propel to higher levels in the school.
When you went to New York for the program, was it a school program too, or was it just dance? Did you have to commute back and forth to Newark for school?
And I had to commute back and forth from school. In the beginning, it was only Saturdays when I started out going back and forth. And my grandmother would take me. Then the following year, Saturdays became Monday and Saturdays. So it just kept, days kept adding as the years went by, and I had to commute back and forth. But I remember my first year, I have to tell this story. My first year, my grandmother said to me, she was like, Chris, you're going to have to learn how to get to New York by yourself. So I'm going to take you and I'm going to teach you, and you're going to, and I'm going to, you know, you have to learn. Yeah. So I remember my first time I was in the city by myself, and I'm and like, it was like another adult, like mature voice, like, look at the signs, follow the signs. Like, I was so lost.
Yeah.
But I followed the signs to Alien, it worked out.
It was like,
that is so terrifying, but also you must have felt so mature after you nailed it and just kept doing it and doing it by yourself.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. No, my grandma, she gave me directions. She told me what to do. I promise you. She's a great
No, I believe in your grandma. I trust her.
Very rigorous as far as scheduling goes. You know, having to make sure you get your homework done. I made sure I tried to stay on track as best I could with my schoolwork. And I was a good student. I love school because I've been a person who loved to learn. I made great grades in school. I was on honor roll because I love to learn, and who I was very determined to become something, because it was presented and in front of me that inspired me more to just, that if I just do good and great, I'll be fine.
How does it work after you do the junior program? Do you then all have to audition for ALEE 2? And I'm assuming not everyone gets into ALEE 2. And then is that the stepping stone before the Alvin Ailey Dance Theater?
Yes.
Co?
So I just want to add that I was dancing in Arts High School as well. So I was dancing, I was learning, doing academics and dancing in the morning. And then after school, dancing more at ALEE. So there's a lot of training. So after high school, I said to myself, I want to get to ALE as young as I can. I want to dance young. And I thought about getting like my dance degree, you know, my bachelor's in dance. I had a lot of conversations with a lot of my elders, people, you know, older than me that's been through it. And they told me I can do it on the road or after I'm done with dance, to go back to school. You can always go back. And my heart was telling me to go straight into dance as young as I can. So as soon as I graduated high school, Tracy Inman from the LE school, director of also the school, the professional division. So right after I graduated high school, I joined that program. He gave me a full scholarship to join the professional division. So I was on scholarship taking classes, and that's from Monday through Friday. That's when I started to do freelance work as well while I was at the school. And I was getting paid to, you know, a taste of the real dance life, you know? You know, a lot of other people that I just like know through friends, I've gotten jobs through that, doing, you know, like solo works and duets, things of that nature in the city. So it's like, I'm living the dream right now. You know, this is fun. But my aim was to get to ALE 2. Mm. So my first year audition for ALE 2, I think the audition like are in spring. I didn't get it. They told me to come back, you know, next year. Then my going into my second year, COVID happened. And I was like, man, ALE 2 auditions were just coming up. And last year I didn't get it. And I was, you know, so COVID happened. Everything shut down. Mm. Everything's done. I was in my apartment. I started growing a beard. I was happy about that. But I was like, I was growing it out. But I was like in my apartment for like 4 months.
Oh my gosh. Right. Yeah.
I started working. I got a job. I believe I went to Taco Bell for a minute for about 2 months. Then I went to, became a cashier for 2 months. And then another part of the seven months I was working at my grandma's job at a medical school that enrolled students.
Okay. Were you thinking that maybe, I mean, are you dancing during this time? Are you thinking
are you like stretching in your apartment every day? Like, what are you doing?
I won't lie. The stretching, I barely stretched, which was bad. It was bad. Yes, it was really bad. But I did work out a lot. At this time, also, I got back into boxing.
Oh, interesting.
And it was crazy. It was, and I was like, you know, around other men, you know, different ages, and we were sparring a lot. And because I love boxing still.
Well, you must have had the fastest feet and the best choreography out there.
Yeah, exactly.
They used to say, Chris, can you, they said, yo, I didn't see you, you show so-and-so, oh, dance move, can you show me? And I used to just like turn on music and just like move for them. And they'd be like, what?
Oh, yeah. It was fun. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's such different cultures, but but both of them are, you have to have a kind of a dance ability, kind of have that. Yeah.
Coach, he really, you know, believed in me because he saw how passionate I am as a person. And how talented I was at, you know, my potential in boxing. Because I felt like I was, you know, I grew up with it. I felt like I was pretty good to start out with, you know, never doing it before. But yeah, boxing is a part of my family. So it's like, it was really fun to see that I could have a future here. But then I got a call.
And what is this call?
We want you to join us when we open back. And I was like, oh, thank goodness, because I was like, I want a box. I do. But it felt like I had to restart restart all over again. Like, you know, I was mentally prepared for it, but it was just, I'm just hoping things open back up. I was ready to audition again for things, get back on track of living a dream of mine, because that's fulfilling, you know, living for a dream of growth.
Yeah. I mean,
it's been progressing.
Yeah. And boxing was the only thing that was open at this time. And the only I felt like I was working towards something like it's something called the Golden Gloves that happens yearly. Mm-hmm. And it was going to happen while things were locked down. And my coach was trying to prepare the team and everything for that season. But I got a call from ALE 2 and I quit the gym and I told him I chose dance. So yeah, that happened. I kept that working. Happened.
That was the right choice. We have to tell you.
Yeah, I think it was the right choice. And then, so you're now back with Alvin Ailey, and do you have to audition again, or are they now just, they accepted you?
I've been with First Company for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So when I got that call about joining the company, it was for Ailey 2, okay, under Ms. Francesca Harper, the new artistic director of the company. So after doing Ailey 2, I was guesting with the First Company, though. I feel like in the beginning of my, like towards the end of my first year with Ailey 2, I traveled for the first time. I don't really travel. Like, I really don't go on vacation. Thing. I'm always like working or doing something.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it didn't sound like you had any time to do anything. You were so busy.
Ailey has been the place that, you know, has shown me the world, you know, outside of Jersey. Just remember going to Colorado my first time, you know, with Ailey 2. And it's just, you see like the city, but like the mountains behind, it was just beautiful. Just, you know, very grateful to travel with.
Yes.
So I was guesting with the First Company while I was with Ailey 2 towards the end of my first year. And then slowly I creeped myself into the First Company. I still had to audition for the First Company, but they accepted me. And my second year with Ailey 2, I didn't finish my second season with Ailey 2 because it's only a 2-year contract with the second company, but I got into the first, and yeah, I'm here. I've been here for 2 years.
Oh my gosh. And so have you been able to do, you've then done the whole cycle around the world when you've performed all over then?
We went our last foreign overseas tour. We went to Copenhagen, Scotland, and London. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whoa, like I've always wanted to go to Scotland and see the mountains. And it was such a dream of mine. I jogged in Scotland. I forgot what mountain it was, but it was like a mountain that like the king and the Scots battled on. And I like stuff like that, like history. I'm a history nerd. And I got to meet some locals. I talked to some locals and they talked about how their family heritage, and how their family members, their ancestors were warriors and stuff on the mountain. And it runs deep. And I always wanted to experience something like that, to know the history of you know, people.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing experience. And get to, and, you know, to hear, talk to people and locals, and then to perform, you know,
for them.
Yes. It's a great feeling. And I feel like that feeds me when I get to know people in the community. That was awesome.
What's it like? Like when you perform, I mean, I know you get, cause I see Ailey at NJ PAC, and it feels like a hometown applause and standing ovation, and the way everybody feels emotional in the audience as well. Is it a different kind of feeling in different countries because maybe they're not as emotionally connected to the dancers, or do you get the same feeling, or is it totally different from like a Scottish performance and a Copenhagen performance and a Jersey performance?
Audiences, they love Ailey. You feel like this feeling of acceptance from the audience, this love for the work. Mm-hmm. How they respond is different, you know, because, you know, back home, you might have family audience and they might yell your name. So like back home, people yell your name if they watching you. So it's different because they know you more. But you get the same reaction from different moments, for example, in Revelations. You know, when we're doing a piece like Butte, we're standing and we're looking up to the ceiling with our palms open. And every time when the curtain lifts, when the music starts and the curtain lifts, people are applauding and we're just standing there. And I guess because people know Revelations, people, mm-hmm, they all have this same feeling. And it's the same applause. Yeah. Every time the curtain opens, no matter what country or city the company's in. That's so cool. I love that. It's not much of a difference. It's not much of a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody knows when they're watching Alvin Ailey that they're about to see a company of dancers that have worked, most of them since they were children like you, to a level of near perfection. I don't want to put perfection on anyone, but it is, I think there's probably, you're going to see moments of perfection throughout this whole performance between all the different dancers. And I think I can imagine that if anybody's there in the audience, they know what's coming and they're so excited. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yes.
Do you come to New Jersey a lot? Do you still visit your family in Newark?
So my only family is back in Jersey is my grandmother. She supported me as a kid. So she's older. So I take care of her still in Jersey. I help her out, you know, with bills and everything. So I still live in Jersey though. I come back.
Okay. Okay.
I love it. I love Jersey. It's the city's overwhelming a little bit for me, but I love to work here. And I have all my friends are here. So I commute back and forth. But yeah, Jersey is like my hometown. I love the nature side of it. I need a tree over my house. Like I need that.
It is. It's like soothing after you come out from the city. Is your grandma going to come to the NJ Pack performance?
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Please come. There's a lot of great pieces, a lot of great dance. And that's for the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
You know, I actually have never gone and I'm going to go this year. I know Rachel goes every year. And so I'm going to go this year and I'm really excited to know some of the dancers now.
I'm going to bring you with me, Jeanette. You're going to love it. You're going to cry.
I'm going to cry.
Revelations every time.
It's going to be really exciting for me to not only be there in person, but also to know your story and see you up there. And I'm excited to be able to share with people, our listeners, that will go and now know your backstory as well. One thing that I wanted to get from you, because your story is very inspiring. And I think that there's something, I think I read somewhere, you just kept showing up or something like that. You know, you just kept showing up. What advice would you give to a young dancer that would like to follow into your path of going to Alvin Ailey? What do you feel like is a personality or a characteristic that they need to have that they should nurture?
As a child, you should stay open. Stay open, because I feel like, you know, sometimes you get really like, you know, you get to your teens, you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. And those things of nature. But when you stay open to things and listen to your elders and keep a positive attitude, try to keep positive. No one's perfect. You know, you're always gonna have your bad days, but even on your bad days, try to stay strong you could pull back. You don't always have to give yourself, but just breathe and stay open and listen. Having that sense of just openness and be like gum with your personality. It's hard to do, easier said than done, but when you just think about it and focus, you know, you can tap into something from within that you're starting, you know, you're planting seeds so that as you get older, when things do go crazy, your spirit, your mind, your body isn't moved so much from it, because you will be affected from random things in life, you know? Mm-hmm. I had a lot of death in my family. So I saw myself, you know, sometimes I forget steps because my great grandmother died last week or so. And I'm going through it. Dance kept me happy. And I found, you know, therapy in that. Taking time off from dance to go see my family and to be with them through that situation. But things like that really hits deep at such a young age, while you're trying to build for your future. And I personally say the earlier, the better. You don't have to go full blast, but just mentors are so important. I want to repeat this again. Mentors are so important. I'm not even joking. Mm-hmm. It's like our elders in our community need to grab the youth and to show them this is what the future is. You know, because for me, a lot of it was YouTube. Miss Nasha really taught me a lot, and she gave me these opportunities to perform at the Apollo. Yes, I probably didn't mention this, but I performed at the Apollo. I performed at Lincoln Center with under Ailey Camp though, at their galas. At such a young age, at like 14, 15, 16, you know, she was my mentor who instilled a lot of, you know, artistry, technical notes, and she gave me these opportunities. So she fed me in that way because I didn't know what this world can give and what it was until she grabbed me and told me, I see a lot in you. And she mentored me till this day. So I'm so grateful for her. And if I didn't have her, I probably wouldn't be here. So mentors are very important.
I think that you've demonstrated in your story how important, and I think what really came through is that you were willing to listen to the mentors. And not only that, you had good mentors. You knew who to listen to, and you took their advice and respected it.
Some of my mentors, you know, they were on Broadway or something. They're like, you know, you got to do Broadway. And I'm like, I'm not ready for Broadway. I don't want to do Broadway. I want to do something. You know, sometimes you take and receive. But as when you listen, you have more options. You have more possibilities. And it's no matter what age you are, you have a choice in your life and your career. So that I just want to add that too, because, you know, it can go
a lot. No, that's true. Because you're right. Also, that if you listen to a lot of good mentors, then you see that there are options. Mm-hmm. And so while you're not ready for Broadway now, you may be ready and want to do Broadway later. And that will happen.
Yeah. You never know. Exactly.
You never know. So what we like to do in our podcast is ask people to tell us something that they love about New Jersey. It can be anything.
I just want to shout out the community, especially the house heads in North New Jersey. I love it's a huge house music community out there in North. That's like my second family. I know a lot of DJs through my grandmother. That was my introduction to music at such a young age as a kid. That plays in my apartment to this day. So
that's so great.
It fed me. It fed my creativity, you know.
Yep.
So I just want to shout out to the house heads in North New Jersey.
Shout out to the house heads of Newark.
Hey. We got it.
I love it. That's perfect.
You are a child of that for sure.
Yes. Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, it's been such a pleasure and an honor to hear your story. And it's amazing to see how far you've come. And I think you have a lot more. I know that you're relatively a new member of this Alvin Ailey level.
Yes.
I can only imagine what the future is coming for you. It's exciting to watch.
Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you so much for coming on.
And we'll be cheering for you. Are we allowed to scream your name from the audience at NJPAC?
Yeah. Please say hi. I would love to say hi to you guys. Don't be a stranger.
We will.
Yes.
We would love to. Well, thank you so much. This has been great.
Yes. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. You too.
This podcast is produced by Rachel Martens and Jeanette Afsharian. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We hope you share this pod with your friends and family and let us know what you think. Check out our website at lostinjersey.site. And don't forget to get lost.